Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise. For it was grace that bought my liberty.
Sees your needs. We believe he's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
And he still looks beyond them. He still gives you what you have need of. Amen. And he knows our heart's desire, and we want the Lord to speak directly to that need this morning. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, it's been a wonderful time to be able to be with believers of like precious faith together around the truth. You said where the carcass is, there the eagles would be gathered together. Father, this morning we've come in your name, Lord, and you promised to be in our midst. And I pray that you'd speak to each heart in a special way. Lord, we just ask you, Father, to have the preeminence, that you could take me and put me to the side. Lord, just use me, Lord, as a conduit, Lord, and they would have ears to hear the word of God. Father, increase our faith, Lord, to see what you would desire us to see. Bless my brother Nathan, Lord, and what he's endeavoring and striving to do for your glory. Bless this work, Father, that you have planted here in New Albany. Lord God, may there be a spirit of fellowship and love amongst the brethren. Lord God, together with one purpose, and that is to serve you. Lord, it's not just another church, but it's part of your body. And we pray for the body of Jesus Christ that is gathered around the world this morning. Lord, all through the different time zones, we pray for my assembly. Lord, back home in Sarasota, Father, that you would minister to the needs of each one. Lord, for you're mindful of us, Father. Lord, we just pray that you'd anoint my lips now, anoint the ears of the hearer. What we do or say would be for your glory and honor. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You love the Lord this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Well, it's certainly good to be here again. Once more, we want to say that we have certainly enjoyed being here and meeting many of you, maybe for the first time, and then others that we have seen and recognized and fellowshiped with down through the years. We just appreciate the privilege of being able to be here. Appreciate Brother Nathan and his wife and his children, and just thank him for the invitation. Amen. We all have come for one purpose, that's to serve the Lord, and every one of you have a part in it. And I believe that God wants you to see that. It's not just sitting and listening to a minister and going home, but God has gifts in every one of you that he wants to use. And that gift, he may use it one time. We don't know, but it's just to be ready and available for him to do it. And it's not everybody running with the ball, as Brother Branham said, but it is getting behind the work of God, what he's doing. And I believe Brother Nathan's desire and the time we've had with him and fellowship with him down through the years is just to be a blessing to the children of God. And so I would just encourage you, as those that you come here to this church, just put your whole effort into it. You know, Brother Branham made the statement. He said there'll be people that'll come to church and there'll be a part of the service, but to do something, to actually be a part, is another thing. And so we all want to play our part, whether God has just ordained you to be the best amener there's ever been. Well, you just go ahead and put your whole lungs into it, amen, and make sure your life, of course, backs that up. But, you know, we like to quote so often that we want to say only what he says on the tapes, and I believe that with all my heart, but I don't believe he's saying you have to say it verbatim. I believe what he's saying is you have to get in the spirit of it. Amen. For that's truly the only way you can see what the prophet of God has been saying, is if you get in the spirit of the composer, amen, the one who inspired it. And then that thing will not just come out of your lips, but it'll come out of your life. And that's what he's desiring today. So God bless you. We've certainly enjoyed our time here. Amen. And once again, we want to bring greetings from the saints in Sarasota, Florida, to you, and you're all invited to come, every one of you. Just don't come at once, amen, because, amen, we don't have that much room in our house, but my wife just fainted. But anyway, we just want you to know we're all, amen, in the same fight as you are, and we're all brothers and sisters, and one day this life will be over, amen, but we'll meet again on the other side. And so it's my desire just to take the thought I'm going to preach to you this morning, just to present a picture before you of faith, that you could see yourself in the Word of God. Our prophet taught us that in identification, to identify yourself with a Bible character, amen, to see yourself there, and you see as their reactions, that would be your reactions, that God would move behind the same kind of faith. And so we want him to do that in our life. Amen. Satan would like you to think that you have no part to play and that you're not worthy to play that part. And here, point to everything that you've ever done wrong. Isn't it amazing that you can remember your failures much easier than you can remember your victories? Am I talking to anybody?
Amen.
And Satan will magnify that and magnify that. So what we want to do is just magnify faith this morning before you. And let's just turn in our Bibles to 1 Timothy. Amen. The first chapter. Amen. The message, Doors in the Door, Doors of the Door. The prophet made a statement about Jesus, that his unfailing faith put him in position to know he was the perfect born Son of God. And he said, your faith, if your faith will put you in position to know that every divine promise of God's Bible is for you, just as sure as that pertained to him, every promise pertains to you. Now, do you believe that? It takes real faith to believe that, to see that every promise that pertained to him pertains to me. Well, how could I say that? Because I've been in him. And now that's what he's revealing to me. So your healing, for your healing, salvation, freedom from sin, from selfishness, from your indifference, and your little turtle shell that you pull yourself into. Christ wants you to wants to come in and be Lord and ruler and set you free from all those things. Amen. Amen. And so he says, I want to ask you something. If we're born again of the Spirit of God, and I want you this is an active participation service this morning. So if you believe you're born of the Spirit of God, raise your hand this morning. Amen. You believe that? I mean, you know, sometimes people get scared to testify. They're just kind of like this. But, you know, no, you ought not to be ashamed of what God has done for you if you're sure that He's done something for you. And if He has, He doesn't have any weak parts or strong parts. It's all God. That's what He said. It's all God. And so if you had enough of God in you till it's barely a shadow, it's enough power to make a new earth. It's enough power to make a new moon and a new solar system. It's God and it's strong, and right now, and every believer that has eternal life, which is God's Spirit in you, there's enough power that'll raise the dead, heal the sick, set orbits and conditions, but it's controlled by a law, and that's the Spirit in you. Amen. So how wonderful is that? So 1 Timothy 1 and 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. And he amplified the 19th verse. It says, holding faith, holding fast to faith. And it says, it is that leaning of the entire personality on God in absolute trust and confidence. That your whole personality is leaning on God. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I'm going to speak to you about David this morning. Very familiar story of David in his conflict that he had with the giant. But I just maybe look at this morning in just a little bit different way. But I want to look at the faith that he had. And as we've already said, that the prophet told us to put ourselves or see ourselves as one of these believers. Identify yourself with him. And so with the help of the Lord, we want you to do that this morning. And so just to set the scene of that time, 1 Samuel 16 and 1 said that the Lord said unto Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thy horn with oil, and I will go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. Amen. I believe that this morning God is dealing with His people in predestination. Amen. Amen. God knows the end from the beginning, and He's bringing to pass His divine will. When Jesus was here, He spoke about the parable of the seed and how it would be in all kinds of different conditions. He spoke about how the harvest would come, how the wheat and the tares would grow up together. But when they would come to their harvest, that's when the separation would come. There would be a binding and there would be a gathering. There'd actually be two gatherings, a gathering of the tares and the gathering of the seed. Amen. The gathering of the tares was meant in the lexicon. It shows they were carried away. But those that are being gathered, the wheat, they're being gathered into one place, and that's in Christ Jesus. How many believe that? Well, they asked Brother Branham, should we move to Jeffersonville? Should we move to Tucson? He said, no, get in Christ. That's where you have to be. So there's a gathering, and that's what this message has done. It's gathered, amen, God's children, the elect, into one place. Now, the gathering is not the multitude. The gathering is not everybody that goes to church. But the gathering is His seed, those that are called by His name. I'm so glad to be called by His name this morning. Amen. So as we study, amen, the election and the anointing of David, we see that just as surely as David was chosen for that hour, how many would say David was chosen to be the king of Israel? Amen. It was the plan, the divine will of God for him to be the king. It wasn't by accident. God knew that Saul would be just another denominational king. Amen. He knew that he would fail. He knew that he would be disobedient to the word of the prophet. Amen. But he also knew there would be a David, and he was anointed to come in the time when there was a failure of men to go farther with the Word of God. God's desire for you this morning is not to just sit around the periphery and think about it. His desire is for you to go all the way. It's not I hope I can make the rapture. It's to realize I'm already in this process. Amen. How many believe that? Amen. So now, as he was chosen for that cause, you are chosen for this hour. Amen. Right? Just as much as he was, even more so, you are called and equipped. Amen. So now, the scene is, Samuel is going to Bethlehem because God, amen, has told him that amongst the sons of Jesse is the one that I have called to be king. Now, he never tells his prophets everything. That's right. He just says where they're going to be. And so, as he's going down to the house of Jesse, he don't know which one is going to be king. But when he's there, God is going to direct him who to anoint. And so, when he gets down there, David wasn't even invited to come to the anointing. He was out in the field and he's working. And they line up all these sons. It's just like a prayer line. They go right through discernment. The prophet goes one right after the other. And every one of them, God said, I have rejected them. Now the prophet looked at them and said, surely this is the one. You know, isn't it something that we can look and think, this one's going to make a good believer. And God said, no, that's not the one that I've provided. The one I provided is not even here yet. But yet, I want you to be there with the anointing because I have provided that king. It's my election. Amen. Listen, the election was before the message was ever sent. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. The message was come to prove that election of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And so now, when Samuel's in this meeting and nobody is meeting the requirements that God is looking for, finally they come to the end, and Samuel said, "Don't you have another?" And God, and Jesse says, "Yes, he's out in the field." He says, "Well, go get him." He says, "We can't have our feast until he comes. We can't rest." See, God's whole purpose was to bring the one that he had in his mind before the foundation of the world, for that one and only that one can fulfill that position. And you and only you can fulfill the position that you have been called to fill in the body of Jesus Christ. Moses, with all his failures, and he had plenty of them, he had been on the backside of the desert for 40 years, never heard from God one word for 40 years. The only word from God he would have heard would have been out of the mouth of his wife. Take heart, wives, you have a place to play in the kingdom of God. Come on, you're not too tired to say amen, or maybe you're too scared. I don't know wherever you're at. But anyway, you know, Brother Branham said Moses had a problem. That was his temper. And I'm just going to take a little side trail here. He had a problem. That was a temper. How many of you men have a temper? Finally, honesty starting to roll across the congregation. Listen, this is our third service. We know one another by now, hopefully. Amen. And so, amen. He had a temper. And you know, God, he couldn't use him when that temper is out of control. That's what caused him to go the wrong way in the first place. Kill an Egyptian, thought he was fulfilling the word of God. Brother Bam said, he just married him to a wife, had a temper as strong as his. Now, how many husbands say, raise your hand, say, my wife really has a temper. Be careful. That's a dangerous hour. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, Brother Bram said it must have really been something on the backside of the desert when both of their tempers got out of hand at the same time. You know, and I might be a different kind of fella, but I just kind of think of here Moses' tent is kind of along the thoroughfare of the caravans coming through, and they come through, and maybe they're coming through at the wrong time, and they hear great noises coming out of that tent. And, you know, maybe they say, what in the world has gone in there? He said, yeah, we heard that guy used to think he was a prophet, but, you know, he's sure not acting like one. But anyway, well, we know who won all the arguments, don't we? Do you ever think of why Moses took off his shoes when God told him to? He'd heard it before. Amen. Do you ever think of why he told God, I can't even talk? Well, praise the Lord. Amen. God has a sense of humor. You might not know it. He made me. But anyway, amen. But you know, the scripture had said that Moses was a man mighty in word and deed. What changed all of that? Because when he came to God, he said, I can't even talk. But out of all of his failures, God never forgot him. And when he come to Moses after 40 years of not saying one word himself to Moses, Moses thought the vision was over, that his time to fulfill it was over. After 40 years, he come to him and never spoke of his failure. He spoke of what he had called him to do.
Amen.
God never changed his mind about Moses. God never changed his mind about you.
All right.
God never had a second thought. That is better than the first one. Can you say amen? His first thought is eternal. And if you were in his thoughts through storms and failures, personal failings, amen, the grace of God, amen, comes back and fulfills his promise every time. Not all, most of the time, every time.
Amen.
Now what Satan wants to do is just point you to your failures. God wants to point you to his word. And this is where David comes in. David comes now. He comes up, and when he comes up, God says, that's the one. And Samuel anointed him. And what was God doing? God was unveiling predestination. And so we want to look and see that the reason that Samuel, who is the prophet of the hour, anointed David was because God had told him to do so. Samuel was fulfilling what God had asked him to do, anoint a king amongst the sons of Jesse. And so, amen, I would ask you then, this battle we're going to talk about, was it an accidental battle? Was it just because David happened to be there? Or was it predestinated?
Right.
I'll tell you where that predestination ran to. It ran all the way back to the prophecy that was given in the Garden of Eden, that when Adam and Eve are being driven out of the garden, God had prophesied, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This is a continuing revealing of that prophecy that God had given in the garden. Now God, when he gives a revelation, he's not going to give another new one and counteract that one. He can't do it. But what he can do, the prophet said, is here, take that revelation and keep bringing more light upon it, and it'll just keep unveiling. That revelation will just keep rolling out. It didn't stop back there. It's still being fulfilled this morning. Can you say amen? And so that's what the prophet said. He promised the seed to the woman. That's his prophecy. He never explained anything more. But as time progressed, his revelation continued to progress. It was not a different revelation. It was the same revelation, but more light being shown upon it so that you might understand more about God. That's all it is. So what he did is he said, I will put enmity between thy seed and the woman's seed. That's the revelation he gave out. But then he designated where that seed would come. And that seed would be called Abraham's seed. Now the woman's seed has a name, Abraham's seed. But as time progressed, amen, God brought more light upon it. And he said, and then it would be called, amen, the seed of David, through the royal seed of David. It wasn't a different seed. It was the same seed, but just more light being shown upon it. And who was the revelation of that light? David was. His very life was proving what God had said in the garden was right.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, you say, Brother Danny, where do I fit in that? Hello? This isn't David's time anymore. It's your time.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So let's just look at that story. Are you with me this morning?
Yes,
let's just look at that story and set a few things out there. Because what I want you to see, just one thing. If I can say one thing that will help you this morning to encourage your faith to go out, then so be it. That's all that matters. And that is, I want you to see who you are, and I want you to see where the devil is. All right? Is that all right? Did I just lose you there? All right. 1 Samuel 17, 38th verse. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head, and he armed him with a coat of mail. It's just like man, that when they finally see, you know, here's a fellow that's going to actually go out and do something, then they try to arm him with their own weapons. And that's never the way God does it. If you're going to do a work, do it the way I want you to do. That's what man likes to be. You know, it's got to be according to the way I move and operate. Well, that's not the way God moves and operates. You know, the best thing God can do for you is get you out of yourself. Get you out of your personality, though he'll work through your personality, but he wants you to lean your whole personality upon him.
Amen.
Amen. Wouldn't that be wonderful? We could all get out of our personalities at the same time. Well, hallelujah. Amen. And so he wanted to put a helmet of brass upon his head, and he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go. So for a time, David tried to look like Saul. He tried to be armed with what Saul was armed in. The problem of it is, what Saul was armed with wasn't winning any battles. What Saul was covered with wasn't fitting him. And he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I can't go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off of him. Anytime man tries to put something on you, it's something that God has not proven. True. It's got to be from God. And David is going to go by his past experiences that God, he knew God already to be a deliverer. How many of you can say the same thing?
Amen.
Listen, amen. I can just use this room right here as an example of God's deliverance and grace and healing power. Just right here.
Amen.
Right here. This is enough to know that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
I don't have to listen to a testimony from overseas to hear what God is doing. I can start in this room and I can end in this room, amen, and show you that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
They say, well, if God is with you, where's all the miracles? How many of you have been healed?
Amen.
How many have been healed in the past year? How many has been healed in the past month? Amen. How many of you have been delivered from great horrible things? Amen. How many of you have been saved?
Amen.
Well, then where is God? He's right here.
Amen.
And if you haven't raised your hand, haven't been a part of any of that, you haven't been saved, you can be this morning.
Amen.
Because you see, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
I personally have seen God in my life in a personal and a real way where I knew he's speaking to me. He's dealing with me right there. I've seen him move in a supernatural way. You know why? Because he's a supernatural God. Anytime God is going to do something, it's going to be supernatural. It may not look supernatural to you because it may not be significant enough to you. You know, that's the way we interpret the word. We think if God's going to do anything, that's exactly the way the Pharisees missed him the first coming. They said, if he's going to come, he's going to roll out the golden staircase. He's going to come right down to our door. They're going to say, here I am. I'm ready to take my throne. They're going to say, it's going to be great. It's going to be significant. It's going to be powerful. But when he came, he was meek and he was lowly. And the people missed who he was. And that can happen in this service this morning. It may not be significant enough to you to see, well, God's here. But he is. He promised to be. But he can only meet your expectation. If you're not expecting him, if you're just hoping this poor little preacher will preach 45 minutes, amen, and that's all you're going to be consumed about, guess what you're going to get? Nothing. And God don't, he's not an entertainer, and he don't clown around, amen, for the devil. He's here to meet your need. He's serious about you. I'm so glad he is. So David said, I haven't proved this, and he put them off. And you know what you need to do? You don't need to go running around with something that's unproven.
That's right.
Just don't take your stack of quotes and say, this is my way or that. God never gave you this message for you to form your own religion. He gave you this message because you were called of him. Behold, I, God, send you, my bride, Elijah the prophet, to turn your heart. To where? Back to the Word.
Amen.
This message is not outside of the Word. This message is the revealing of the written Word. What darkness has covered over has now pulled back and you can see your name. I mean, people want to get in a fight about the seals and argue about this, that, and the other. I'll tell you simply what I believe the seals was. It was the revealing of the mystery that called your name. That's what he said. It wasn't saying Daniel Steeman or Nathan Bryant, but it was when you heard the mysteries of God gone forth, it caught your heart because it was the same seed that was there. It was the Word coming to the Word.
Amen.
You're the Word.
Amen.
David was the Word. He said, I haven't proved what you've put on Saul. But I know God is with me. Hallelujah. Do you know God is with you this morning? I want to encourage you. God is with you. Young person, you may feel alone. He is with you. Amen. I've got quite a few young people in my assembly. I don't know how many of them think, well, I don't have no friends. And I look around. You know, I don't know, times are different or something. Everybody's got to have a friend. Everybody's got to, I mean, this is, how traumatic this age is. You can have a Facebook account and somebody unfriends you. I mean, it'll take you a month to get over somebody you never known unfriending you. Isn't that horrible? I've been unfriended by who? I don't know. What a great day we live in. Amen. We're friends. We're unfriends. You know, when I was growing up, I have a family of five. It's me, my brother, and three sisters. And so, I mean, when my dad was moved by God down to Florida to start the assembly there, his church was his wife and his five kids, and we sat there in the living room and listened to him. My friend, I had to play with my brother. I played football. Me and my brother played full. Football games, one-on-one. I mean, we was quarterbacks and receivers and defenders and safeties and everything else. We could fill every position. We were good. Had to be in our own mind. Anyway, but you see, it wasn't, oh, well, I wish everybody was my friend. But, you know, I find so many young people today, they're so traumatized because they're not part of a group or they're not part of this. But you can have a friend in Jesus. You can be satisfied in Him. And David knew who was with him. He was alone. Those sheep weren't with them sheep. I guess them was his only buddies. Was the sheep. But he said, I've seen God move out there in my life. That when the devil in the form of a lion or a bear tried to come in, he said, I went and I destroyed them. He said, the same God that did that for me then will do it for me now. So he didn't need anything new. Because, amen, he was walking in the faith of God. And notice, his faith would only be more confirmed because he knew he had been anointed by the prophet to do this job. Hallelujah. You know, there's great gatherings all around the world. We all talk about the prophet. But I want to ask you, why did he come? Why did Samuel go to the king's, to Jesse's house? He had a purpose to anoint someone there. To go forth. You find out after Samuel did that, you won't hear much more about Samuel until he dies. But the crowning achievement of Samuel's life is to anoint a king among sons. And he was successful. So the scripture says he took his staff in his hand, chose five smooth stones out of the brook, and he put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine, now he's the challenger, he came and he drew near to David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. You ever thought about the fight that David had? David come up against two men. Did you know that? It wasn't a man just carrying some of his equipment. An armor bearer was one that would guard the back of the challenger. He would be there to assist the man in battle. You know, in this battle, you hear nothing of this guy even participating. He should have been there helping. No doubt he saw that stone knock that guy down and he cut it. Headed right out for the mountains. Amen. Because then he knew there was something supernatural going on here. Amen. And he drew near to the Philistine. And the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about, he saw David and he disdained him. You see, David was the move of God. Amen. That's what God was doing. You want to look around and say, what is God doing in this hour? Well, look around you. Amen. This is what God is doing. Come on, church. You say, well, praise God, 500 books was sent to a country I never heard of. That's wonderful. But this is what God is doing. Because if books go and sit on a shelf, it's useless. It's got to be translated into human flesh. Amen. And this is what God is doing. The elect of God. See, you might be sitting saying, I don't have a part to play in the kingdom of God. Hello. You're here.
Amen.
Amen. God wants you to catch His vision. He don't want your vision. He wants you to catch His vision. And this is the vision He's trying to show you. And David had called it. I've been anointed by a prophet. I'd have never been anointed by him unless God had first elected me. And Brother Bam says when God, amen, anointed David, right then he was positionally placed as king of Israel. Now David wouldn't take the throne in the flesh for quite a time. But in God's mind, he was already there. Hallelujah. Do you know where you are sitting today? You are now seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That means every promise in the book has been activated and given to me. And it is a yes. If you need healing, it's yes. If you need deliverance, it's yes. Can you say praise God? Amen. I'm not here by myself. You're here with me. Amen. God is sending this to you and He's trying to get you off the sidelines. You see, that's what Saul was trying to give David. David was already anointed. And Saul, what had Saul done for 40 days? You ever think about how much he'd done? He was a great leader. He was leading from behind. That's what Obama does, right? Amen. Leading from behind, setting in the tent. No doubt he had his computer all set up and he knew all the lexicon about what a giant was, and he could send out blogs of all kinds of things. Yeah, they're still on the hill out there. Day two, yep, they've moved in a little closer. Oh, day four, just a lot of little exclamation marks because a giant was been screaming in the valley, scared him to death. Hallelujah. Yes, yes, that's a giant. Amen, amen. He could say all of that. What good did it do him? It didn't do him nothing. Amen. What good does it do for you to know all the quotes and know everything? It doesn't do you a bit of good if you're sitting somewhere and not able to live it. And Saul wasn't able to live it.
That's right.
Think about it. He'd been under the ministry of Samuel, but he's anointed with an evil spirit. I wonder how many people claim to know the truth and are anointed of an evil spirit because they can't fight the battle. It's time to get off the sideline and realize what you're wearing isn't working. Hallelujah. Brother Danny, are you rebuking me? No, no, no. No, I'm just telling you, get out of your tent. Everybody wants to pull back in their little old hidey hole and say, well, this is what group are you affiliated with? I'm with the first group that does nothing. Well, what good does that do? It's safer, Brother Danny. Really? Is that really the safe place to be? I'm challenging you. Amen. And when he saw him, don't be surprised that they looked down upon you. The giant is looking down on David. He disdained him. How can God be in this storefront? Do you know how many storefronts the devil has seen down through the years? Thousands of store. Just another storefront. Give it a few years. Poor little people here in Jeffersonville, on New Albany or wherever, you know, they just think they're serving God. They're misguided. I mean, and the guy they're following has been proven to be wrong by a bunch of people that never knew him. And they, you know, and they don't know him and they weren't there, but they're right. Isn't that amazing what people follow? You know why they're convinced that it's God? Because they're so connected to the worldwide web of Satan. You say, Brother Danny, I got the internet. That's not what I said. I said World Wide Web of Satan. There's a difference. .com/satan.org or www.satan.org, whatever. Amen. They get so hooked up into that. You're so convinced that it's right when there's not one bit of anointing of God behind it. It's anointing of Satan. But you're set down and you spend waste your time trying to prove the devil wrong. You know, there's time David's got to get out of the tent. Get away from Saul's language. Amen. I'm telling you, Satan knows what's right. He just don't want you to know what's right. Satan is convinced this message is true, Brother Nathan. He know. Do you know how many prayer lines he's been thrown out of? I was down in Mexico a few years ago, and I was speaking to a minister there. I believe I told you this story. I'm going to tell it here. And he was telling me about an old Mexican brother who had a real gift of faith in his life. You say, Brother Danny, can anybody have a gift of faith anymore? Well, read your Bible, and you find out they can. Amen. He has a real gift of faith in his life, and he was dealing with a demon-possessed girl. And this demon would not move out of this girl at all. And so he finally didn't know what to do, and he stepped back. And he said this thought come to him. He said, go find a book of Brother Branham. So he went and found a book, and he said, find one that had a picture of Brother Branham in it. So he went and found one, and he opened it up to the page where the picture was, and he held it like this before this girl, and he spoke to the girl in addressing the demon. He says, do you know who this man is? He said, that demon spoke out of the girl in a man's voice and says, that's William Branham, and I was thrown out of one of his meetings in Arkansas. Now, this is years and years and years later. Well, you say, Brother Danny, what does that mean? Well, I'll tell you what it meant to that little Mexican preacher. He said, then in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom William Branham preached, come out of that girl. And he said that demon came out of the girl. That demons know the names of the men of God. Amen. Amen. That you said, is that scripture? Absolutely, in the book of Acts. Amen. When the seven sons of Sceva tried to cast out this epileptic demon, instead this spirit of epilepsy jumped on these men and tore them apart. That spirit spoke out and says, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? Huh? See, if you're not identified with the kingdom of God, Saul, you have nothing to fight with.
That's right.
But if you're a David, Satan's going to do everything he can to try to cast doubt into your mind and make you think you cannot overcome in this hour. But you got prophecy, Timothy.
Amen,
that has been said of you. And I want you to fight this warfare by these prophecies that have been said about you.
Amen.
He don't want you to talk about your weaknesses and how you cannot overcome. Everybody wants to glorify themselves and talk about how they, all their problems, so negative. Put all their negativity online. Put all their negativity out there. I just can't do it. I'm not good enough. I've done this, I've done that, I've done this, and I've done that, and I've done this. Are you done? Are you done? Do you know what your prophet said? He said, don't ever say I'm weak. Don't say I'm not a good Christian. He said, you're only speaking the devil's language.
Right.
In other words, that's what the devil wants you to say. He don't want you to think you can overcome.
That's right.
He don't want you to think you can understand. He don't want you to think you can't have revelation. You say, Brother Danny, I just don't understand all the message. Well, who does? But I want to tell you this. This is what you're supposed to do. If you lack revelation, you're supposed to look up and ask God for it.
Amen.
And then God in His own time will reveal Himself to you exactly the way He wants it to be. Amen. Oh, I'm so glad he's like that, aren't you?
Amen.
So when the Philistine looked, he saw David. He disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. So maybe the devil disdained you this morning. So what? So what? You might go, well, the devil don't really recognize me as an overcomer. So what?
Amen.
Prove it to him.
Amen.
Amen. And so today they don't see the move of God for what it is. It don't mean nothing. What does that have to do with anything? I don't go to a giant to find out what he thinks of me.
Amen.
But I do know this, the last thing the giant sees will be me.
Amen.
Glory to God. You know, that made me feel pretty good. Well, we don't go by feelings, Brother Danny. Well, you need to sometimes, all right?
Amen.
If you don't, put your hand on a hot stove and don't go by feelings. Sizzle, sizzle, sizzle. Don't bother me. I'm not going by feelings. Amen. I don't believe in emotion. Well, you will sooner or later. We'll meet you at the hospital and pray for you. Amen. You love the Lord.
Amen.
And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog? And I don't say this here, but I could just put an interjection. Yes, you are.
Amen.
That you come to me with staves. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I'll give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, you come to me with the sword and with the spear and with the shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. See, David wasn't coming as David. He was coming in the name of the Lord of hosts. This is who he's representing. David didn't have the revelation that you and I have today. He didn't know his name, but he said, I come in his name. But today we come representing the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in baptism, in redemption, in life. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll just put an interjection here because it comes to my mind. I was raised in a Mennonite family, and one day I had one of my cousins come to me, and he goes, Danny, are you still preaching what that Branham preaches? And I said, yes, I am, as a matter of fact. And he never said nothing, and I said, and so I got curious, and I said, why? And he goes, because he's gone. And so he said Brother Branham was going to hell, and he wanted to know if I was still preaching that. And I looked at him and said, Jimmy, I said, I wouldn't said anything, but because you said that, I'm going to ask you a question. Yeah, I was a Mennonite. I already had an upper hand on him. I knew what he believed. He didn't know what he believed. So I want to ask you a question. Because you said that about William Branham, I want to ask you, how many books have you read or tapes have you listened to, first of all, to give you that qualification to say he's going to hell? He goes, well, he goes, I haven't read any, but he said, my dad read one book and he said it's no good. I said, so because your dad read one book and said it was no good, you're going to base all of that and say he's going to hell? I said, I want to prove something to you, Jimmy, and I wouldn't have done this, but I'm going to prove something to you. You don't even believe your Bible. He goes, I do too. Now he's getting mad. I wasn't mad, but he was getting mad. I told him he didn't have a right to get mad. He started it. And so he goes, well, I do believe the Bible. I said, no, you don't. You only believe what your bishops tell you about it. I said, because I know every good Mennonite is a good Trinitarian. I said, who do you think created the heavens and earth? This is grade school. This is Sunday school. Who do you think created the heaven and earth? He goes, well, God did. But I said, did you know your Bible said Jesus did?
That's right.
He goes, no, it don't. I said, see, you don't even believe your Bible because it did say by him and through him, all things were and are created.
Amen.
So he was done. But see, they disdain the move of God, but they don't know what it is.
Right.
And this was the giant's greatest mistake. He looked at this little person standing before him. And this is a little bride.
Right.
This isn't a big bride. It's a little bride. And he disdained the movement of God. And it was the last thing he done. So David said, I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistine this day unto the fowls of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Now, have you actually ever read that verse before? Did you see who he was addressing? He didn't just address the giant. He said, here, give you and the whole host.
That's right.
What kind of faith, what kind of testimony is he given? Now, David is teaching you how to have faith this morning. Maybe some of you got prayed for last night. Maybe some of you are wondering, how am I going to do it? He had to confess it. And he confessed right there in the heat when the battle's getting ready to come, when he's by himself. He said, God will give me you and he'll give me all of them. You know why? Because he knew where he stood. And because he was anointed son of God, he could look and see his position in the Word. Can you this morning do the same thing? And all of this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord, and here give you into our host, into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistines arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistines. I love that verse. He ran to meet the giant. So this morning I want to encourage you. This is the title of my sermon. You say, Brother Daniel, you just started preaching. That's not what I said. I just said, this is the title of my sermon. I said, and it is Run to Your Battle. David hasted and ran. He couldn't have ran toward the enemy unless he was convinced of who was with him. And it wasn't his stone, the prophet said, that brought the enemy down. It was the power of God that was already there. The hidden power came out, amen, and did exactly what his testimony, his confession had said.
Amen.
How can you be healed unless you confess it?
Right.
If you sit around and you're a symptomatic Christian and you're just looking at symptoms to be seen, if I'm really being healed, God, are you healing me? No, I don't feel as good as I did yesterday. You'll never be healed. Brother Bam says you can never be a Christian while looking at yourself. Isn't that true? Then how do you do it? You look at the Word. Because faith isn't based on you, it's based on Him.
Amen.
Amen. And how can the hand of faith reach out and take the promise of God if the eye of faith cannot see it? So you could have eyes of faith to see that every promise in the book is mine. And if you have an eye to see, your hand can reach out and take it. But I'm telling you, if you're not in love with God, how are you going to do it? You've got to be in love with Him. So that's where you start. Father, make me in love with you.
Amen.
Is that your desire?
Amen.
Because you know how God proves His Word. He will only prove His Word by believers. Isn't it something? He's not going to prove His Word by unbelievers. There's not one person that disbelieves this message going to prove it right. It's only going to be proven by believers.
Amen.
So who's He going to prove His Word to be true? By you. Who is God revealing His Word through? You.
Amen.
Amen. Can you say me? Well, let's start over. Let's stand and read the Scripture again. What in the world? You got to help me here. See, Brother Danny, this you're not from our church. I know I'm not, but we're still relatives. Amen.
Amen.
It is you. Me. Say me.
Me.
Oh, that's better. They woke up, Lord. Thank you. Amen. You are a son and daughter of God. You know, you're sitting here thinking, oh, you've got to hear yourself speak. I'm an overcomer.
Amen.
Amen. I've been made more than a conqueror. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You sit there, God, I can't make it. I can't overcome. Lord, I don't understand all these things. I don't have no friends. But God says, I'm a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Amen. You want me to give you the best counsel you've ever heard in your life? Quit listening to them.
Amen.
And start listening to Him.
Amen.
Amen. If you keep getting, people are so consumed with seeing what detractors say. Who cares what they say?
Amen.
What if David had said, you really think I'm poor and small and ruddy and you disdain me? Oh, hang on. I'll be back. And I'll try to answer your question later. But that's what people are with their faith. They said that? Oh, it must be true. I'm going to tell you, not one of these people who doubt that the pillar of fire came to Houston were there.
Right.
Not one of them. Amen. Not one of them that doubt the prophecy in L.A. were there. Amen. Oh, but then give you their interpretation. Listen, I'm a pastor. I've sat with people who've had books this high, laminated. I mean, they was passionate. They laminated pages and blew them up bigger than I blow up my notes and put pictures and everything, trying to assassinate the character of Brother Branham. And I'm like, have at it. Do what you want. I'm not even going to try to convince you because you don't want to be convinced. What is the use you and I having a conversation? If you want to talk about his doctrines that he preached, we'll do it because I know you're an idolater and I'm not.
Amen.
Well, that's the truth. Brother Branham said that Satan, amen, he introduced this Trinity doctrine to make people idolaters.
Right.
Oh, I never forget. The Mennonites wanted to have a meeting with my dad and about what we believed, and we all sat down, and so me, another deacon, and my father and my brother-in-law, we come, and all these Mennonites are sitting there, and they're gonna have set the ground rules for the meeting. They said, now today the subject is going to be the Trinity, and he said, and the ground rules are you can only use the Bible. That's the only book you can use. So they had us there. They really had us there because Brother Branham's message isn't the Bible, so we're in trouble then, right? Right? I'll never forget. I'm just on another story. I'm jumping around like a cricket. Amen. But I remember another story. I was speaking to a woman and she hated this message and she's really coming against it hard. And I'm taking the scripture and I'm just bringing her scripture after scripture after scripture. That's all I'm using. Finally, she stopped. She got so mad. She stopped and said, I know where you're getting that. And I said, where am I getting it? She says, you're getting it from William Branham. I said, thank you. You gave him the biggest compliment you could give him because he only preached the Word of God.
Amen.
I never quoted any other thing. I only quoted the Scripture. But the Scripture tore down the defense. There is no defense to the Word.
Amen.
So anyway, we're finally sitting there. And because, we can't use Brother Bam's books, we're in a real quandary. We don't know what to do because we're just robots, right? Amen. And so I just asked them a question. I said, I just want to ask you one question because, I know what the Brother Bram said. I said, who was the father of Jesus? Said, well, God was. I said, well, why does the Bible say she was found with child of the Holy Ghost? I said, well, it's a great mystery.
Yeah.
I said, it sure is. And, so finally they began to quote their own books. They got so out of whack that they started quoting their own books. They broke their own rules. Well, I guess you're allowed to do it. If you set them, you can break them. And finally my dad, he just stood up and said, I want to tell you what. He said, if you're a Trinitarian, this is the type of dad, type of man he was. I appreciate his boldness. He finally stood up and he said, if you're a Trinitarian, I'll just say one thing. You're nothing but a pagan idolater. And that meeting was over. Because there's nothing more to talk about. You see, you don't have to be afraid of what the enemy's trying to tell about your message. Can you say amen?
Amen?
It's your message. It's not his.
Amen.
How do I know the pillar of fire was in Houston? Because it's here.
Amen.
I don't have to see it with my eye to know the presence of it.
Amen.
Because I know the nature of the pillar of fire is still the same as it was when Moses came, when Jesus came.
Amen.
Amen. When Paul met him on the road to Damascus. When he came and appeared in the prophets' meetings. And we know he's here because the nature is the same.
Amen.
Praise God. So he sends believers to prove his word. He sends believers. He predestinated his word. Malachi 4, he sends believers to prove it. He sends believers to prove every one of his words. He doesn't send someone else.
That's right.
So if you're a believer, then you have to ask yourself a question. What am I proving? You're proving this message.
Amen.
To be the truth.
Amen.
Oh, I love him, don't you? Now, I'm trying to hurry here. Look at one another and say, praise the Lord. Amen. Brother Branham said, if you were a son or daughter of God, you were in God all the time. But he knew what bed, he knew what time you'd be planted. So now you're made a creature, a son of God, a manifested son or daughter of God to meet the challenge of this hour. To vindicate the true and living God of this hour, the message that's coming forth in this time. What did he say? He said, you are a manifested son or daughter of God to meet the challenge of this hour, to vindicate the true and living God of this hour, the message that's coming forth in this time. So who is the vindication of the truth? You are.
Amen.
Praise God. Then, Lord, I say, Father, let me do it with all my strength. Let me not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are you ashamed of it? Paul said, I'm not ashamed of it. Amen. You were there before the foundation of the world. If you wasn't chose that way, no matter how much you try to impersonate it, you'll never make it. If you weren't chose that way, no matter how much you try to impersonate it, you never make it. How can you get blood from a turnip when there's no blood there? Again, he said, in the rising of the sun, the word before the foundation, the word to the word predestinated to the word written for the hour. You are the predestinated word that comes and shows the word written for the hour. Amen. You realize your position. Amen. I want to just just to show you that the prophet identified you with David, because I know you're looking at this story as thousands of years ago, and it's kind of hard to identify yourself there. But Brother Branham said that David was called by election. He was elected, called, anointed, and placed by God, called from sheep herding to be the king, anointed, and positionally placed. And he says, now, he said, all right, there you are. You're called. Are you a David? You're called and elected first by God. How many Christians are here? Raise up your hand. All right. You're a Christian. You said that. He says, you're not a Christian by your desire. You say, well, I have a desire to serve God. That's wonderful. But that's, you're not a Christian by your desire, because that's not yours. Isn't that's the greatest thing about it. You're a Christian by God's desire. So that means if I'm a Christian and I have a desire to serve Him, God put it there. I didn't.
Amen.
Because He said, no man can come to me except my Father draws him first. So you were elected by God before the foundation of the world to be a Christian. That is Scripture. So first you was elected and called. Then when God elected you, He called you and you heeded to His call. Then He poured the anointing oil on you, the Holy Ghost. And when the oil represents the Holy Spirit. And when He poured the oil upon David, He was baptized. He baptized him with the Holy Spirit in a symbol form. I hope you get that. That come fresh. He poured the oil upon him and it went all over him, a whole horn of it. Not sparingly. And that's the way God pours the Holy Ghost on a man. Not sparingly. He just baptizes him into it, anointing him with the Spirit. Hallelujah. You know, when God don't give you the Holy Spirit to be miserable.
That's right.
I don't know how many times in my experience I've seen miserable Christians. You a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. I love the Lord. Really? Really? That's you must not have very much poured upon you then. God, when He pours it on you, He pours it unsparingly.
Amen.
Amen. And He wants you to see the way He sees. He don't want you to see the way you see. Amen. So when David went out and done that, now listen to this quote here, and I'm coming down, amen, to the end of the service here. But Brother Branham, in talking about the power that is in the church now, he said it's controlled by a law, and he said that law is not keeping a bunch of commandments, it's a law of faith. And Jesus said, all things are possible to them that believe. And if you can believe it, now notice this real close. He said, if you can believe it, whatever God will lead your soul to believe, that is yours.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Whatever your soul can lead you to believe, whatever it can lead you to believe, that is yours. So then we have to say, God, open me up to your word. To believe all of it, not just to be a church attender, but somebody that can be activated by His Spirit, because that's what He wants out of you. You're not a Christian because you attend a message church. That's not what makes you a Christian. You know that by now. He said, and if you can believe it, whatever God will lead your soul to believe, that is yours. Every place the soles of your foot can set upon by faith, God gives it to you. Amen. It's yours. You possess it. And if you can find the key to this law of faith that opens it, to you. You see what I mean? If you are a son or daughter of God, that will never leave you. It's with you all the time. He said, but your faith gets away from it, but it's still there. Amen. So it's still here this morning. And maybe even your faith has wandered away from that type of faith. But God, by His mercy, is trying to bring it back to where you can believe like that again. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't you love the Lord? What we need today, he said, is a man and woman who want reality, not a creed. They want a reality. That's what we need today, not creeds and fashions. We need realities in God. The world don't want it. They don't want to accept it, but the church has to have it. God wants you to have it. He's the God of realities. So God wants you to have this. So, we're strictly talking then about the faith of a believer, one who has courage in the face of adversity, one who's received his visitation, one who's recognized his day. He's already come under the ministry of the prophet and been anointed under his ministry. So when David came to the battlefield, he didn't come unprepared. And I want you to know that he came prepared supernaturally. You are prepared supernaturally by God. What gives you the ability to do these things? Not yours, but your faith. With faith comes ability, God's ability to accomplish what God has said. So David come equipped with something far greater than he was facing. And I like that. What he was equipped with was far greater than the giant he was facing. And that is so important in our walk to understand that. So another thing you have to understand, when David come to the valley, he came fed up. You know, a simple problem with people is why they can't overcome today. Do you know what it is? They're not feeding on the things of God. Brother Branham gave the example of a man that come to the doctor and said, "Doctor, I've just been sick. I'm so weak. I can't hardly do anything." And yet he's a great, big, strong-looking man. And the doctor ran tests and said, "Well, I don't find anything wrong with you." And finally the doctor says, "Well, when's the last time you ate?" He says, "Well, I had a half a cracker day before yesterday." He says, "Man, you're not sick. You're just hungry." And that's the problem with people, is they're not feeding on the Word of God, so they don't have strength in to overcome. Right. These things that you face in the world would not seem so horrifying and terrifying, and I can't control it. I can't do anything about it. If you were feeding on what you should be feeding on, that's so important in our walk, because in this battle we're in, you can't fight it weak.
That's right.
You have to fight it fed up. And David came and he was fed up. So I ask you the question, when David came down into the valley to fight the giant, who should have been scared? David or the giant? Now there's a song in that somewhere, Brother Lindell, you can write. Who should have been scared? Amen. Amen. It should have been the giant. Amen. Because David is the one that wrote, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good."
Amen.
He knew that the Lord is good. Amen. And Brother Branham said, the devil is always trying to point you to somebody's failure, but he tries to keep you away from the real testimony that's genuine. Amen. Don't go on testimonies that have failed. "Well, my daddy left the message, or my sister left the message, or my brother left the message, and now what? I must be the next one." Do you know how many times the devil told me I'm serpent seed? Do you know how many times the devil told me I don't have the Holy Ghost? Do you know how many times he's told me I can't make it? Do you know how many times he told me I'm a failure as a minister, as a pastor, as a believer, as a husband? I almost said as a wife, but I'm not a wife, just so you know. Amen. He's told me I'm a failure in everything that I've tried to do. I'm not a good construction laborer. I'm not good in whatever I put my... I'm good at nothing. So are you. You're not good either. Amen. That's what he tells us.
Amen.
So if I believed him, what am I going to do? I'm better than him.
Amen.
I don't listen to him. I realize he can't help himself. He's got to talk like that. He said, "Well, why does the devil talk like that to me?" When the day the devil comes up and tells you, "You're doing good, boy," that's the day you better get scared.
Right.
Amen. Amen. So we want to say Goliath definitely had the advantage over David from a human standpoint, but Goliath didn't realize that in fighting David, and this is the part I love the most, he didn't realize in fighting David he had to fight God too. And that's the same with you, brother and sister. The devil don't realize when he's fighting you, he also has to fight God.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah, church. Oh, man. You know, if Goliath's eyes could have come open, they'd have been like dinner plates underneath his helmet. If he'd have seen who was there with David. Can you imagine? David's coming down the valley, and this little old uncircumcised Philistine sees this little boy walking there. He don't see these giant angels on each side with a flaming sword. He don't see the captain, the hosts of the armies of the Lord, the fiery chariots all around. If he could have done that, he'd have cut the breeze right away. But he had no discernment. He had no more discernment than that garbage can outside. He had no more discernment. He just saw a little boy. There ain't nothing about these people sitting here on these chairs from Lowe's. And look at them. Some of them are sleeping. Some are wondering. And when is Danny going to quit? And what in the world? Where is the potential in this church to take a rapture? Hello, devil. You'll see. You'll see. He's made these people more than overcomers. Amen. And God has spiritually equipped you to see who the devil is. He is a defeated being.
Amen. Glory.
And that's what I want to leave you with. Brother Branham says it does not matter how much. It doesn't matter much what we are to overcome as long as we know how we can overcome. You know you can overcome. And this is how you know. Amen. And I'll leave you with this, because David came equipped, and you're equipped to know this as well. For when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, or more correctly, comes in you, it'll cause you to see things that aren't normally recognized. He will bring things to your remembrance when you need them. He will be your inside teacher. That will be the unseen presence at every confrontation. I can remember... My sons now are they'll be 21 in a few days, but I can remember when they was about 5 or 6 years old, and I'm sitting in the chair. I had been ministering at that time for about, 5, 6, 7, 8 years, and I'm sitting there, and the devil's really tech, and he said, when your sons get older, they're going to leave this message because there's nothing to it, and they're just going to go to the world. And so I'm sitting there, and fear began to strike me. And my boys are outside playing. They obviously don't know what's going on. And just as those thoughts are prevalent in my mind, the back door slammed open, and one of my twin boys come running into the room, I mean, full charge. Now, he's already outside playing in the dirt with his brother and his cousin. So this is highly unusual for a 5 or 6 year old to leave playing with cars or whatever they're doing. He comes flying in the house. He said, "Dad." And I said, "What, son?" And I'm sitting here and thinking all these thoughts. I said, "What?" He said, "I want to listen to Brother Branham." I said, "All right." So I put a tape on, and so we're sitting there, and for about 20 minutes, my 5-year-old son sits there, and he just sits in the chair and he listens. And then he jumps back up. He said, "Dad, can you turn it off?" He said, "I'm going to come back and listen, finish it later." He said, "But I'm going to go back and play again." I said, "All right, son." Wham! Out the door he went. And I sat there, "Now what in the world just happened?"
Amen.
You know what it is? Amen. God is obligated to any believer that is in His path. Amen. Trying to serve the Lord. God is obligated to take care of you. And He tells you, "Fear not, I am with thee. Be still and know that I am God." He's still God this morning. He wants you to take all your fears and give it to Him. So I'm just going to read you really quick. I'm not going to spend no time explaining them, because you understand what I'm coming from. But I just want to read to you a number of quotes where Brother Bram said, Satan is a defeated being. He is defeated. He's defeated. He's not overcoming you. He's defeated. Amen. Brother Branham said, "Have faith, don't doubt." Jesus said, "If you can believe." He said, "That's the way, little fella." Amen. That Indian woman sitting on the end has her head down praying. She's got a comb in her hair. The angel of the Lord, that light, hangs over the woman. She's suffering with hay fever. That's right, Indian lady. Jesus Christ makes you whole. Say, your friend sitting next to you, that other Indian woman there, she's suffering with the head trouble. Put your hand on her too, that she may be made well also. Raise up your hand there, lady, and receive your healing through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen. There it goes. Healed. He said, a dark streak of blackness leaving, moving out. Something white shoving it.
Amen.
Now, a prophet saw that. You didn't see that, but he did. Amen. Something white shoving the blackness out of the room. Hallelujah. Amen. Now again, he said, now here's a dark streak coming from a woman to another one. What is it? It's a devil. He knows his time has come. This woman here is extremely nervous, just hysterically nervous. And I see you trying to do things and you just can't. You're just nervous, mental nervous. Satan told you were going to lose your mind if you don't get over it. But he lied to you. That little lady sitting right there, second one in back, she's bothered with nervousness too. Isn't that right, lady? You see what I mean? This demon knows that if that woman will halfway believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and I'm his prophet, that it'll have to leave her. And that demon is calling to that one for help to accumulate unbelief, but he lost the battle. Faith is gathering. Hallelujah. Again, he says, what are you scared about? Are you afraid to take his word for anything? Don't be afraid. Call the thing right. I'm an heir to this. I didn't deserve it, but I'm an heir anyhow. Because I'm an heir, I receive it. There you are. We're heir of salvation, heir of the Holy Spirit. I'm an heir because Jesus paid the price. Nothing I had to do. I just fell heir to it. Amen. I'm healed because I'm an heir to it. My diseases are gone. My affliction is gone. Why? Because I'm an heir to it. You know, brother and sister, this is your time to claim that as well. All perfect assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. That's our story. Oh, then Satan can't stand that, see, because he's a defeated being. He is nothing but a bluff. He's a defeated being. Again, in the prayer line, amen, he says, in conference with God, I condemn the devil that's taken the life of this woman, and on the basis of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I now challenge Satan and tell him he's a defeated being, that Jesus Christ defeated him at Calvary, and is God's servant under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, that the commission given me by an angel, I condemn this devil for the woman's life. Let her live, O Lord, amen. Return home, rejoice and be happy, thanking the Lord. Don't doubt now. Don't have a doubt in your mind. Again, you say, Brother Danny, why are you reading all these? Because I want you to know how defeated the devil is. Again, he says, may the devil be defeated in our lives. And we know he is defeated because he is the defeated being. And Satan, I turn to you now to say this. You are defeated. He said, defeated, defeated, defeated. You are defeated. You're not afraid of us, but you're afraid of the one we're speaking about. Amen. You have lost every bit of power you ever had. You were defeated at Calvary. And he goes on to say, I'm a seed of Abraham by Jesus Christ, and I take the preeminence. You know what you need to do this morning, brother and sister? Take the preeminence over your situation.
Amen.
Take the preeminence. I'm not going to be backslid anymore. I'm not going to sit on the sidelines anymore. I'm going to go forward in faith because I see a picture of who I am in the Word. You say, Brother Dan, how do I know it's me? Well, God wanted this message to be preached this morning, and you're here. Amen. That's enough. You should take it then. Amen. Again, he says, therefore, Satan, you are a defeated being. You have no legal rights to begin with to torment these people. You're a bluff, and we're calling that bluff. Jesus Christ defeated you in his death and resurrection. His blood paid every price that you coached the family of the human race into. Every price of sin, and now we are sons and daughters of God again. Therefore, you cannot hold these Christians any longer, and I adjure thee by the living God that you depart from these sick people. Come out of them that they can go from this building tonight free from sickness with the faith that is so predominating it'll drive you out of their thoughts and realms with a faith so predominating. How many want that faith this morning? Amen. Oh, don't you love the Lord? Okay, my last quote, but I love it. I love these things. And it's all I'm trying to do is to instill these things to you that you can take them and use them. Maybe one, two, three, whoever in here can rise up out of their condition that they're in and say, God, that's me, and I'm going to believe you from this day forward.
Amen.
Amen. In wisdom versus faith, then if Jesus defeated Satan upon the faith of knowing who he was a predestinated creature. Are you ready? What about the predestinated bride of Jesus Christ now? You believe the bride is predestinated? The predestinated bride of Christ, now the church, the word seed, with everything that God promised to put in the church, is in it right now. Everything is in order. The Holy Spirit has been given. The seed has been sowed. The evening lights have been shining. The sign of Sodom that Jesus promised is here. Malachi 4, a predestinated church. Oh, devil, church of the living God, here and on tape, do you know where you stand? Do you know you are called of God? That the Holy Ghost reigns in your heart and every word of God is real to you? Amen. How is Satan going to stand against it? How is he going to stop it from growing? How is he going to keep signs from following? You could throw him in jail. I don't care what you do. They tried it already. They rotted in jails, fed to lions, sawed asunder, jerked to pieces. You can't kill a church that's predestinated. Those he foreknew, he has called. Those he called, he has justified. And those he has justified, he has already glorified and predestinated. And now in the last days, with every seed sowed, everything in order, the world in its order, the time is shaped up, the church in its order, the evening light, the seeds, the signs, like he said, as it was in the days of Sodom, an angel of God, the Holy Spirit moving down and performing the signs he did then. Malachi 4, he promised he would send. We see it all here now. He says, amen, 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 amen. Do you love him? Amen. Sure. Right here in the last days, a predestinated church, knowing where they're standing, sowed with the seed, the Holy Spirit in the church. And when he said, when it's in that condition, this is what he said. He said, Satan, be careful. So then I ask you, why should Satan be careful this morning? Why should Satan watch out? Because of who you represent. Is here and in you. And greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Brother Danny, what are you leaving me with this morning? Run to the battle. Amen. That's what you're called to do. God bless you this morning. Let's stand together. Amen. Do you love the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. Let's close our eyes, bow our heads. Amen. How many fathers, with your eyes closed, would raise their hand and say, I want to be a real leader of my home. I want to stand as a real believer. Amen. How do you see the hands? How many wives would raise their hand and say, I want to be a real wife to my husband, a real believer of the things of God? How many husbands would say, I want to believe, amen, exactly what this prophet said that I've heard about this morning, that I've been called and placed to do these things. Amen. God sees your hands. He knows your heart. You know the great thing of it is, with faith, he gives you the ability to do it. You say, well, Brother Danny, I've tried. I've made so many mistakes. Well, then let me tell you, just quit looking at those mistakes now and learn from your past experience that the grace of God is greater than those things. You can go forward. I wonder if there's someone here this morning, they know their life is backslid, but they said, Lord, I want to be restored to the right standing with God. And you want to have enough courage tonight to raise your hand and say, Father, I'm coming back to you tonight and say, Lord, or this morning, I'm going to serve you with all my heart from this day forward. Why don't you raise your hand? Amen. Thank you. Lord Jesus, you see every hand that was raised. Lord, it was you that laid these thoughts on my heart. It wasn't things that I could just put together, but it was you that done it, Father, because you know the people that were here and you knew how they would respond. Then, Father, every heart that raised their hand this morning, you see the purpose in that heart. Lord God, the sincerity of it. If it was just lifting a hand because they knew that was the thing to do, it'll serve no purpose. But Lord, if their hand was propelled forward by the faith that lifted it, Lord, to say, Father, this is what I see. I see a picture of how you see me. Then, Father, we will say what David said. Because David had a desire to build your house. He had a desire to do it, but you hadn't called him to do that. You had called Solomon to build it. And he was trying to do it, but when you come and told him through the prophet that he's not the one to do it, but he would do it through his son, then David changed his prayer. And he said, oh God, do what you have said to me according to thy word. And we say the same thing this morning, Father. Do unto us what you have said according to thy word. Do what you have said. Amen. Mary, when she heard what seemed like an impossible message, that she would conceive a son by the Holy Ghost, and call his name Jesus. It was impossible to human ability to do that, but it's just in line with the prophecy. She said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." Her testimony fell in line with the prophecy of the scripture. May our testimony this morning fall in line with the prophecy of the word of God. And may, Lord, there not be one doubt in our mind. We say, Father, we thank you, Lord. Amen. We pray now that you would strengthen them according to thy word. Infuse their life with the Holy Spirit, Lord. Amen. If they've fallen away from the joy of serving you, may that joy come back, Father. Amen. If they've fallen away, Lord, amen, and just become ambivalent, Lord, and on the sidelines, bring them back into the fight, Father. May they run to the battle, Lord, as sons and daughters of God. Lord, we thank you for these people that come. They've listened so patiently, Lord. We love them. We thank you for their lives. We ask you, Lord, you bless them now according to your word. You told us, don't forget my benefits, who healeth all our diseases. Jesus, amen, who forgiveth all our iniquities and who redeemeth our soul from destruction. Then, Father, be it unto us according to your word. Now, we pray your blessed assembly. Bless our brother Nathan as he pastors here and labors in the field. Lord, may you encourage him and strengthen him. The life of a pastor can be a lonely one, Father, but I pray, Lord, you'd strengthen him according to thy word. Bless the deacons, bless the ministers, bless each one that's laboring in your field, Lord, this morning, and may they be encouraged to keep going forward, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. May God bless you this morning. Certainly been a privilege to be with you, and we love you with the love of the Lord. We covet your prayers. Amen for us down there in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, my friend. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Like thee, oh, just give me a heart that's filled with love and faith. Is that your desire this morning? Let's just raise our hands and worship him this morning. You heard. Amen. I was thinking as he was talking about his sons there about 2 years ago, and a lot of these things started coming up, attacks against the message and things, and even some of the message preachers and things turning away and making fun of the cloud and saying things against it. And sitting out in the backyard praying one day and had my Bible in my lap, and Philip's out there running around about 5 years old, and happened to open up my Bible. I had a 5x7 of 4x6, something like that, the cloud picture. And I talked to him about the pillar of fire picture before and things like that, but never really mentioned anything to him about the cloud picture. And I said, "Buddy, come here a minute." And he walked up to me. I said, what is that? What do you see when you look at that?" He said, "That's Jesus." I thought, how sad. Some of these ministers been the message 40, 50 years, walking away from it, and a little boy sees Jesus. We should be thankful for what we have. Have our loved ones serving the Lord and believing this message. We should be thankful. We should never take it for granted. Amen. What a privileged people we are. Amen. Let's just sing it again this morning.
Oh, make me more like thee.
That's our prayer this morning.
Just me.
His presence here this morning. He loves to be worshipped. Let's just worship Him.
Make me like Thee, O Jesus. Make me like Thee.
This is what Brother Danny was trying to tell you this morning.
Oh, we've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. We've been made victorious, not on our own, but through the blood of Jesus Christ.
If you can get a revelation of that this morning.
We've been made more than conquerors. The devil's already defeated.
Oh, what a privileged people we are.
We've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, we've been made more than conquerors. Let's sing it to Him this morning. Oh, I know it's already done. Hallelujah. It's already done. We praise Your name. The battle is over. The victory is won. It's already done. He's here to deliver this morning. Oh, I know I shall overcome. Oh, I know I shall overcome. And I'll praise His name. This battle is over. My victory. Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb this morning. Let's sing it that way again together. Oh, I know I shall overcome. They were in shackles and they were behind bars. And he said, Brother Branham, come and free us from this house of hell. He said he came out of that vision. He was screaming, where's Roy Borders? He said, God's delivering His people. God's here to deliver you this morning. He's here to deliver His people. You don't have to, if you're bound, if you've got depression, if you're discouraged, if you've got a cloud of doubt hanging around you this morning, if you've got sickness, if you've got unbelief, if you've got loved ones that are stray, you don't have to leave here bound this morning. He's here to deliver you. God is delivering His people. It's a finished work. He doesn't start something that He doesn't finish. My God, when He begins to work, He even takes it all the way through to the end. You say, oh, I was saved, but I don't know. Now Satan's trying to tell me I'm lost. No, that's not how God works. You say, oh, I got the Holy Ghost, but I don't know. I think, you know, I feel so empty and down and discouraged. He didn't give it to you to take it away from you. When He begins a good work, He's going to take it through to the end. You just have confidence in Him that began a good work. And you say, it's already done. Oh, hallelujah. Satan, it's already done. And we'll praise His name. Oh, this battle is over. This victory is won. It's already done. You tell Satan he's a liar this morning. He's defeated. Because it's already done. For the bride is already done. And we praise His name. Our battle is over. Our victory. It's already done. Let's sing it this way again this morning. Oh, I know I shall overcome. Oh, I know I shall overcome. For my battle is over. My victory is won. I shall overcome. One more time together. It's already done. It's already done. Satan comes and tries to lie, but don't you be denied this morning. Amen. We're overcomers, not because of something we did, not because of our works, or not because of our good, but because He's good, because He's perfect, and because He called us and chose us and elected us, predestinated us. You say, I don't know about that, Brother Nathan. Well, you just go back and read your Bible. Start about Romans chapter 8 and 9 and see what it says. You pick up some message books and see what it says. Amen. He called you. He knew you before Adam was formed on the earth. He knew you'd be sitting right here, knew what your attitude towards the Word would be, and knew that He had called you for a reason, for a purpose. Oh, when pangs of death seized on my soul, unto the Lord I cried, until Jesus came and He made me whole, I would not be denied. Oh, no, I would not be denied. You don't have to be. This message is wrong and there's mistakes here and there. Oh, but praise the Lord, vindication has been done. Christ, the mystery of God, is revealed. Oh, no, I would not. Well, old Satan says this message is wrong, says there's mistakes here and there. Oh, but praise the Lord, vindication has been done in Christ, the mystery of God.